It's a true joy to be in God's house today. It's good to see each of your faces. It's a wonderful blessing when we can come together and have God's blessings continue to shine upon us. The blessings of gathering together. I want to join with this church's leadership and membership and welcome everybody to church today. It's good that you're here. And it's a wonderful thing when we can continue to celebrate in the Lord. And you know, Heather did scripture reading for us, and oftentimes Ella does different things too. You know, Heather, it's really nice to see those who have in a more recent time joined the church continue to stand strong in Jesus. You know, we don't want to just baptize people to baptize people. We want to baptize people to be ready for this judgment day that the song talks about that we're living in, and to be prepared to go live in heaven forever. Well, at least 1,000 years there, and then on the earth made new forever. That's what we're about. We're about moving people from sinful lives into Christian living by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's why we exist as a church, to continue to affirm the salvation of Jesus Christ in our own lives and to tell others of the same so they too can come and be blessed in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen, amen. And I noticed quite a bit of purple today, you know, and all the colors going and near to purple. It's good. Good colors for the springtime. It brightens up the place. It's good to see the yellow and all the colors going. And you know the nicest thing to see is the smile on each of your face. Ah, it brightens up the place. Amen. Keep smiling. Our God is real. And as Christians, we should enjoy every day of life. Did you know that there is no bad day? There is no bad day. You can have bad experiences on different days, but there's no bad day. Every day is good. And every day we have life, it is a true blessing. Last Sabbath marked 4 years since my 3 daughters were baptized. And I had the privilege of baptizing them. Last Sabbath also marked 18 years since my wife and I were married. And she's tolerated me for 18 years. That means she's special. Amen. Amen. 18 years and we look forward to the next chapters coming. We thank God for what he does. Amen. Elmira Church, greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. Greetings. Today I'm speaking on a subject. X years later, where am I? Where am I? X years later. And before we pray, you can say X days later, X weeks later, X moments later, X months. You can put your timeline for that which you aspire. X years later, where am I? Sister Michelle, it's good to see you in church. Praise God, we continue to press forward. Amen. And Tammy, that was so nice to hear you share in Sabbath school this morning. That was special. I just want to let you know. That was special. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Good to see each of you here today. And as usual, Sharon, thank you for good music. Sweet music. We thank God, you know. I can only play with that thing. I can't play it. So it's good to have somebody who can play it. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads together as we speak with our Father in heaven one more time. Our God and our Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness that leads us to repentance. Thank you for the measure of faith that you have given to every human being. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given us evidence of who you are, revelation of who you are. And thank you, Lord, for opening up our understanding that we might understand what is necessary for our salvation and for the salvation of others in our circle that we are to reach. Lord, speak in your word now, and may every worshiper here and in the hearing of my voice be blessed by you. Bless those who join us online or may even review this message later on. May you cover them with blessings just like you're blessing us right now. Take our sins and make us whole, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. X years later, where am I? 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. End of quote. I could ask you a question today. Do you want a faith that accommodates your sinful ways? Or do you really want the faith of God that gives us victory over our sinful ways? We have to pause and ask that sometimes. And hopefully, we are not creating a faith that accommodates our sinful ways. Because no sinful way can be brought into heaven with us. We have to give it up through the blood of the Lamb. We have to give it up through faith in Jesus Christ. We have to give it up for the love of God. Amen? And so, we are called this morning to examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and humanity, between heaven and earth. He does mediation by his own shed blood. And in Romans 5 and verse 2 says, quote, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in a hope of the glory of God. The image of God is desperately needed to be restored in us. And one more text comes to us from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through to 6. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. One of the things without which it would be impossible for Christ to be our God and Savior, mediator and ransom payer, our kinsman redeemer, is his divinity. If Christ was not God, we are still lost in our sins. We're only fooling ourselves. If Christ was not God, he could not be our Savior. Notice one of the texts I read earlier calls him God, our Savior. He is God. The inherent, self-existing, self-possessed, unborrowed, underived, divine nature is what makes a being God. There are only three divine beings: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The three whom I worship. While my message today is not a treatise on the Godhead, be reminded that you have three almighty helpers in your corner: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Any one of them can handle every problem you face. So then, reimagine yourself living by the power of all three. Wow. Now is a good time to question your walk with God. X years later, where am I? By the way, no one in the entire universe, nor can the universe itself be God. I hear people talking about the universe today. It is now all over TV and social media. that the universe told me this or told me that, that the universe is kind to me and determines destinies. It may sound cute, but this is occultic, satanic language, ancient paganism revived. Many so-called Christians are eating that forbidden fruit too. But that is idolatry and apostasy, of which we want nothing to do. Amen. Those are the people Paul described in Romans 1 verse 26. Quote, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. End of quote. The universe is a creature or created thing and cannot discern the future and cannot be God. The living God is the only God and is always worthy of worship. So worship him from now on. And the Sabbath school lesson gave three powerful reasons why we should worship God. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. End of quote. One of God's good work is to restore his image in human beings. And so from the bottom of your heart, say in your heart with me, am I allowing Jesus to complete the restoration of God's image in me? X years later, where am I? By the way, this question could be about your marriage or your prospect for marriage. It could be about single life, student life, life as a widow or a widower, life as a retiree, a parent, a professional. It could be about a business or home ownership, or it could be about any area of life. As for matters of eternal life, have you taken the time to evaluate your readiness for heaven? Do you know we can fool ourselves for a long time, thinking that we are ready for heaven? And then in the end, we could hear those words from Jesus, depart from me. Though you went to church on Sabbath or even on Sunday, I never knew you. We have to check in with Jesus and see where we are. When was the last time you took the time to evaluate your readiness for heaven? Are you ready to live in the society of holy angels and people like Enoch and Moses and Elijah and the 24 elders? Are you ready to live permanently in the presence of Almighty God? Are you excited about heaven? Were you excited when you first start the Christian life? And the question is, are you as excited now? X years later, where am I? In life, many people start all the events of life with great excitement and expectation. In my Christian experience, I expected to walk on water if necessary. I expected to raise the dead if God orders it. I expected to perform any number of Bible miracles if God says so. I also expected to live a life unspotted by the world, holy, unblemished, and upright, perfect before Almighty God and fellow humans. I expected to walk like Enoch walked. Like him, I expected to be translated or conveyed to heaven without ever dying. I expected Jesus Christ to come again in my lifetime. Now, would you charge me with spiritual ideation or fantasizing for holding these views? Now, there's a dilemma. In that while I strive to attain unto righteousness, I find that my sinful carnal nature lies beneath like a menacing submarine, ready to throw nuclear power punches at any provocation. But why is that so? David said in Psalm 51 verse 3, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me," talking about Mother's Day. Romans 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now the difference between Bible Christianity and every other religion is this. The gods of every other religion require a sacrifice from their followers. But the God of the Bible, the God of Bible Christianity, has sacrificed himself for his followers. He has paid the full price for our sins by becoming the Messiah and Christ and dying the second death on the cross for us. He met the terms and conditions for the wages of sin for us. Jesus paid the price with his life. His divinity and humanity teamed up to conquer sin and its consequences for us. So, X years later, where am I? Is there any excuse left to have sin in the universe, and especially in your life? No. There's no excuse for sin. God became man to save humanity. This is the mystery of godliness. But no human being or any created being or thing can ever become God. Such a pursuit is called the mystery of iniquity. That's why you'll be called upon to reject the mark of the beast. Because that will be an attempt of some created being thinking that he is God. You will have to face this test one day. From the look of things, it seems like it's coming sooner than later. What can I say to you today? Get the seal of the living God. Amen. Be sealed in Christ. Now, one of the most important things I must ascertain is whether I am saved. Some of you have big stocks in the stock market, and you keep an app on your phone so you can see the progress. Some of you are secret millionaires and billionaires, and you keep a tab on that to make sure that things are going well. I don't have to know all of that. What I need to know is that I am saved. Amen? And, you know, I see a certain young man hiding behind a book. That's a telltale story, you know? I will not call his name. I will leave him alone. But yes, what we want to ascertain is that we are saved. Amen? And a question that I ask myself that you should ask yourself too. Have I really accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my God, my Savior from sin? Have I accepted that Jesus nailed the power of my sin to his cross? Have I accepted that Jesus paid it all for me, the full price to ransom me from sin? Have I accepted Jesus as the source and inspiration and example of my Christian living? Or do I fight on in my own strength and find myself falling than rising? Are God's gospel, mercy, and grace and power at work in my life? Romans 10:17, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes." Jesus is the standard. Jesus is the judge of Christianity. I must say, it bothers me that there seemed to be an alternate standard in Christianity. If my group says it, or if my local church says it, or if my denomination says it, then it's okay. It's never going to be okay that we set up human standard as to what Christianity is. Jesus gets to be the standard. Jesus gets to be the judge. And the way of Jesus is revealed in the Holy Bible. My brothers and sisters, I want to say to you today, check the source for yourself. I could very well be a deceiver, and so could you. Check the source. And as we get closer to the coming of Christ, be more relentless about the source. If it's not there, you have no business believing, however charismatic I may preach it. If it's not there, don't believe it. Don't accept it if it's not in God's word. Stick with God's Bible. We're going to enter more thorny paths ahead. And if you're not anchored here, you're going to be carried with the current. You're going to be swept. It is strong. That current is coming for you. Got to stand with the word. I hope I made that case for that. Stick with the Bible. Amen? Jesus is the standard. Jesus is the judge of Christianity. A person's experience of rising and falling does not qualify him or her to be judge of others' Christian experience. In Romans chapter 3, verse 3 to 4, the English Standard Version, and I really like, Heather, that New Living Translation version that you read. I'm going to share in Romans 3 here from the English Standard Version. It says, what if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. Romans 3, 3 and 4 from the English Standard Version. Friends, we have more than enough help from our Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through to 16, it says there, quote, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I'm going to read verse 16 shortly. But I want to catch that. It did not say he compromised with our weaknesses. I want us to get that. There are people today who expect to go to heaven as sinful as they are. I want to echo the warning from way out so we all can repent and turn and live. We cannot go to heaven as sinners. We got to be saved by God's grace. We cannot make God into our image and our likeness. And so it says here in verse 15 that, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Here's the invitation in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly. Not presumptuously now, but boldly. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mercy and grace are found at the throne of God. And I am very thankful for that. Without his mercy and his grace, I wouldn't even be standing here. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. So what can I say to you today? Exercise and anchor your faith in Jesus. He sits on his throne in the heavenly sanctuary doing a cleansing work. That cleansing work includes ministering his grace and gifts to us right now on earth, being our high priest there. Christ's authority is a guarantee of our salvation. I pray that like the prodigal son in the Bible, who after squandering away so much precious moments of life, suddenly came to his senses, that someone in the hearing of my voice today will suddenly come to his or her senses today. Run to the safety that is offered only in Jesus Christ. Who would like to join me today in surrendering all to Jesus? I see witnesses in the audience. Amen. Now is the easiest time you will ever have to surrender all. It doesn't get easier at 12:05 or at 1 p.m. or tomorrow or next week. As a matter of fact, none of those are guaranteed. The only guarantee of time we have is right now. So I'm inviting you right this moment to surrender all to Jesus Christ. Ask him for the spirit of surrender. Do it now. And then follow the counsel in Hebrews 12 verse 2 that says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God himself says in Isaiah 45 verse 22, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Speaking about Jesus, Peter said in Acts 4 verse 12, I told you in Sabbath school, it was coming in the sermon too. Peter says in Acts 4 verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other. There is not salvation in your dead mommy, your dead daddy, your dead aunt, your dead uncle, your dead spouse, your dead child. There is no salvation in nobody else out there. Peter says here, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only Savior. Looking back over my life, X years later, where am I? In the very first vision that Jesus gave to our prophet, the remnant church's journey to heaven was described. This little portion I'll read from for you is from Early Writings, page 14. I think it's true for us today as it was when this vision was first given. If, that's in quote, no, that's where it started. If they kept their eyes fixed on Jesus, who was just before them, leading them to the city, they were safe. What should each of us here do to be saved? Keep our eyes on Jesus. It says, if they kept their eyes fixed on Jesus, who was just before them, leading them to the city, they were safe. But some grew weary and said, the city was a great way off, and they expected to have entered it before. Then Jesus would encourage them by raising his glorious right arm. And from his arm came a light which waved over the Advent band. And they shouted, "Hallelujah!" Others rashly denied the light behind them and said that it was not God that had led them out so far. End of quote. X years later, where am I? Am I in the yes, Jesus, hallelujah group? Or the rash group that denies heaven-sent light? Do you regularly review or examine your life's trajectory and direction? Do you ask yourself that question? X years later, where am I? Friends, I have come this far by exercising the same measure of faith that God has given to you and that he has given to me and that he has given to every human being. I have come this far by exercising that faith in God himself. And he has brought me this far. How about you when you ask yourself that question? X years later, where am I? I believe in Jesus as the source, the inspiration, and the example of faith and life. So I exercise the faith of Jesus in Jesus. I'm certainly not yet all that I can be in Jesus, but I'm surely not all that I used to be. God is moving me along in the journey. Amen. God is still working on me. If you look at my back, you'll see a sign that says under construction. Can you see it? One is on my forehead, one on my chest. I'm still under construction. God is still working on me. Amen? And I'm encouraged by what Jude 1 and verse 20 says. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I like that. X years later, where am I? I am at a place where I am cultivating awareness of God's presence and enjoying the companionship of God's presence. I am at a place where I am focusing on God's divine grace. And 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 2 through the 4 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord. And of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and to godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and by virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." End of quote. Chase this offer. Everybody come and send us something in the mail or by phone giving you an offer. Don't worry about those. Chase this offer. Christ is extending to us to become partakers of God's divine nature. Have the image of God restored in you. X years later, where am I? Diligently, I am searching out God's voice speaking in the Bible. How about you? The favorite text of America's first president is in Micah 6, and I'll read verse 8 for you. Scripture says, "He has shown you, O man," and you can say, "Oh woman," it was a term addressing all, "Oh boy, oh girl, oh young adult. He has shown you, oh man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And our scripture reading that was nicely read for us, I'll pick up in verse 8. It says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other command, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10. Love does no harm to a good neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And do this, verse 11, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off, and I like the use of that word. It means you should do it with violence. Cast off the work of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry. And I like what the NLT says. It says, wild partying. Yes, let us not walk in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Modern word, jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. End of quote. So, X years later, where am I? I am assimilating what is written for us in volume 6 of the Testimonies, page 467. And I'll give you that quote. It says, faith is a spiritual hand that touches infinity. Faith is a spiritual hand that touches infinity. The simple prayer, or the simple prayers, pluralized, that indicted by the Holy Spirit will ascend through the gates ajar, the open door which Christ has declared, I have opened and no man can shut. These prayers, mingled with the incense of the perfection of Christ, will ascend as fragrance to the Father, and answers will come. Workers for Christ are never to think, much less speak, to failure, of failure in their work. The Lord Jesus is our efficiency in all things. His Spirit is to be our inspiration. And as we place ourselves in His hands to be channels of light, our means of doing good will never be exhausted. We may draw upon His fullness and receive of that grace which has no limit. End of quote. X years later, where am I? X years later, where are you? What is your answer to Jesus today? For me, I'm saying, I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. Today I will rise up in the arms of faith. Lord, I'll be closer drawn to thee. Now, if this is your confession too, we have number 439, how far from home? I ask as on, I bend my steps, the watchman spake. The long dark night is almost gone. Oh, eternal morn soon will break. Amen. And we look forward to when we will be safe in our Father's home. Thank God for His goodness. Today we are going to pray. There's a group that will go out. Unfortunately, I can't join the door knocking group today, because it's well over a year since I have had dinner with Tioga Church, and they're having it today. So I'm going to head over there and catch what is left of it. Yes. So we just got restarted, so I'm going to join them today for that. But my brothers and sisters, there's a banquet prepared for us.
And it's prepared for little boys and girls too. For youth and young adults. For grown up. For retirees. That banquet is prepared even for those who have died in Jesus. What a banquet is going to be. I've read somewhere that the table there will be many miles in length. But we could see all over it. We could see another just like when we sit at one of these tables here in the fellowship hall. May we be ready for that banquet. It's going home time. Let's be ready. X years later, where am I? At the feet of Jesus. Don't move. Don't go astray. Stay right there. That's where you belong. You know, we have two children that signed up for baptism since before I went on vacation in late November. And we're going to follow through on that. We have to clear the King's Highway. And those two kids are right there. Mahalia, they signed up, and their brother Malachi, they signed up for baptism. And I don't know if there are others who are contemplating this very important step and will join them. We have no set date yet. Because, you know, we work it through. But I want to let you know that we have not dropped the ball and will not give up, because we exist as a church to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And he says we should teach them all things that he has commanded us. And he promises to bless until the end of the age. So my brothers and my sisters, if this was our last Sabbath before we die, if this was our last Sabbath on earth, may we spend it well. May we spend it reflecting on Jesus, the great lover of our souls. May we spend it getting ready for heaven. Let's pray together. Our God and Father in heaven, thank you for your presence. It means so much to us. Thank you for admitting us into your courts. This house is yours. And we came here to worship you today. Lord, may it be that indeed we have worshipped you in spirit and in truth. Where we have fallen short, please forgive us. Please make us whole. And let your righteousness cover us, O Lord. We are desperately in need of your great grace. Let your grace and your mercy go with us, Lord. May we walk in the power and the might of your Holy Spirit. May we live for you. May we teach other men that Jesus is the Christ, God our Savior. Bless us as we go. Give us journeying mercies. Be with the mission team that will go to share literature and stuff from this church that will interest others in the kingdom of God. Bless their going out. Bless our rest of the Sabbath, Lord. May we be blessed in you. Take away our sins, we ask. Seal our commitment for heaven. Amen.